Hello and welcome to the Creatives Chronicles. My name is Bright Emeka and I'm your host for today. This is the podcast that tells the stories of creative professionals, giving you the information and motivation you need to get started, stay focused, and thrive as a creative professional. Joining us on today's episode of the podcast is an amazing boss. He's phenomenal. He is a leader in the creative industry. He is a lead graphic designer at Media Range Limited, and also he has trained a lot of interns and a lot of people. That's going to be some of the things we're going to be talking about today. Joining us today is Mr. Onorha. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
All right. Let's get to it. In the first segment, we like to take a look back at the stories of our guests. We reverse engineer and see how they got started, what made them get into the world of design. Okay, so let's hear from you. How did you get into the world of design?
I come from a family that's full of creatives. My parents used to draw very well. I have uncles and aunts that used to do the same thing. I come from a line of artists, basically. And so, as a child, I and my elder brothers, I'm the fourth of five kids, three guys before me and then one girl after me. So I and my elder brothers, we were really into art. We drew comic books, we drew still life pictures, we drew quite a lot of things over the years, and that sort of stayed with me, such that even when I got into school and I was studying biochemistry in University of Port Harcourt, I still made sketches, and I was fascinated by what people could do with their computers, you know?
Yeah.
People could make things that would blow your mind, and it's not as if it's bad or it's not good enough if you use a pen and pencil or if you use a pen or anything like that. But to just envisage the idea that someone could sit down in front of a computer and do some of these things and make such wonderful designs and art and all that, so it fascinated me. So while I was still in school, I went and got myself a CD called Raw CD.
Okay.
If I remember right, I think that was called 11 or 12, I can't remember.
Wow.
And I sucked so bad at it. It was horrible. But I kept trying and trying so hard to learn how to use it, watching, because they used to, those CDs then, I don't know how it is now, but those CDs then, they had a couple of mini tutorial that they just try and explain a couple of things to you. So try to use that, and that's basically how I started right there in school. I think that was my starting point, and over the years I've built up on that.
Okay. What was the turning point for you where it became a professional thing, and how did this turning point happen?
One of those wonderful periods where you have a break from school. By then, I was not even, I don't know why, but it just never occurred to me that I could actually make money from this. But it really never occurred to me. And I was helping a friend of mine, Toki, then, his fellowship in school, wanted to make some shirts for their retreat.
Okay.
The camp. So I said, okay, no problem, I would do the lettering for the shirts and everything. And I specifically remember it was at Delway's group here in Surulere in Lagos where I got my shirts printed anytime I did any shirt design. So I went there one day with a friend of mine, and as we were talking with them about what I wanted, the colors for the shirts, color for the designs, and I opened it up on the system there to show them. My friend, when we got home, said, Omara, have you ever considered that you could apply for a job and then they could hire you and do designs and getting paid? And I looked at him and I thought, this sounds ridiculous. Does that actually work? Yes, it actually works. Yeah. And so you can imagine a guy who is a student, hasn't even gone for IT yet. And okay, this is crazy, but it sounds like something fun. Sounds like something new I could do. So I sat down with one of my elder brothers, the second born, she could.
Okay.
And he helped me actually draft out the CV based on what I had been studying currently in school in biochemistry. Mm-hmm. And that work experience I had with other things. Maybe I went and did a training here for one thing or the other, packages and proficient in like Microsoft Word and all of that. So he just crafted out a, you know, tiny CV that didn't really have much. And then I took it to them and said, hey, I want a job.
Okay.
It was crazy. And the lady there who usually took my designs to the printers in there and then got the shirts done and everything, took the CV and said, yeah, sure, no problem. And within a couple of days, I got a call. And they said, hey, come over, that they are actually looking for resident designers that could be there for a while, so if I'm interested. And I was like, wow, this sounds awesome. Mm-hmm. So I go there, interview, and they literally hire me. Mm-hmm. Going really well that I'm only going to be around for a little while. I mean, this is a breakthrough school.
Yeah.
And I was paid $20,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So my mind blew. I was like, wow, I can't put money on design.
Yeah.
From there, I went all in.
Mm, awesome. Amazing. Let's dive a little bit into what we want to be talking about today, interning and internships. I see from, I follow you online, I see that you have a number of interns, and that is amazing. It's amazing. Like, knowledge sharing is something I hold very dear to my heart, and I love when I see people doing that. Awesome. Okay. Say someone is looking to become an intern in your organization, what are some basic requirements or some of the things you look out for before you take that person on as an intern?
There are two basic things that are foremost in my mind.
Okay.
And you need to have at least one of them.
Okay.
That's if you had both, but at least one of them. And one, first one is, do you have any knowledge or skill relation to design?
Okay.
Okay, so if you have that kind of knowledge, maybe you've been, you don't have to be, you see, one thing that we tend to make mistakes in as beginners is we tend to think that if you are applying for an internship or you want to learn under somebody, that you have to have become some kind of reach a certain level or something. But the truth is, even if all you have is just basic knowledge, I think that this person is dealing, it's something that you have just basic knowledge, that's fine. The other criteria is, are you hungry to actually learn well? These are the two things for me, because almost in my mind is, I don't want my time wasted.
Yeah.
It's your own time wasted. Because if you're not interested in this, then, I mean, what's the point? Why start what if you're not interested in it? The good thing about it is that the internship isn't just for students. I mean, there are people that are on IT and they are already into art and they want to do something about design. And then there are some people who have actually finished school and then they are on their NYSC period and they are looking for a placement and they are like, okay, design is something that I've always wanted to involve myself in. So why don't I come over here and try it out? So it doesn't have to necessarily be somebody that is in school or out of school, whichever level the person is in, as long as there's desire. Or they have the basic knowledge of it. That's all I need from
you. All right. So you look out for either basic knowledge on design or the person has the desire and the willingness to learn, because it might be surprising that there are some people that might even have basic knowledge and would not be willing to learn more or be teachable. Like,
exactly.
Okay, let me ask this question. Was there an intern you had that the internship relationship went sour, like it went south? And if you've had such experience, let's talk about it. What are some things that happened? What are some of the lessons you picked from such a relationship?
That happened.
Okay.
Obviously, I'm not going to name names, but
it's fine.
In fact, it was a period when three people in particular came around. I think they were within, if I remember right, they would have been within 3 weeks, a 3 week period. Three different people came in to learn. And at the end of the day, only one of them actually got to a very clear point. But even then, she dropped off. It was two ladies and one guy. But the one I want to speak of in particular is the lady that didn't even, I mean, it was bad.
Okay.
She was already doing a couple of things at her job. Okay. It was a kind of a summer job kind of thing. Just for a bit she was working. And she says she wants to learn design because she believes it will make her a bigger asset where she is, such that when she's through with school, if she reapplies, it can be like, oh, wow, you've got some extra things here as well, and it'd be fantastic. So I thought, all right, fine. That's not the usual kind of thing I have in mind, but, I mean, it's still a skill that you want to acquire that can help you, so that's fine. Mm-hmm. And everything was going well at first. But I mean, by week two,
okay,
she was, or let's say week three, okay, two or three, she was either coming pretty late, and so there was barely anything to show her. I mean, I have work that I'm doing in the day, so I have to allot a time to sit with you, talk with you about certain things, teach you, and then also give you tasks to carry out.
Yeah.
So I have to structure it into each day, literally every day. So if you are missing, there's really no point, you know. So it happened a number of times, and I got pretty frustrated. I would ask her what's going on. She would give me funny excuses, and it really, really, at a point, the whole thing just blew up.
Whoa.
Because I couldn't take any more. It's not as if there was any. I make sure that I'm not abusive. I don't go into tearing people down and humiliating them. So when I say it blew up, I mean, there was no longer any point to it. She wasn't coming around, or she would come pretty late. Tasks were not being done. It was as if she was suddenly no longer interested, but because she had committed herself, she felt, let me just come around and see what happened. So it was a really bad experience. It really went bad fast.
Okay. You were saying that, not all the relationships, not all the internship has been successful. Okay. What is the common thread, or what is some things that some tell signs that you start seeing that you'd be like, okay, I'm thinking this is not going to be profitable. What are some of the signs you notice or you see?
There's something I like to see. Partly as a joke. Okay. I'm half serious and I'm half joking. I tell you that there's no such thing as a humble designer.
Okay.
I don't believe any designer is humble. None of us is humble. We're all very proud. And some of us are very arrogant. And the reason we're proud is understandable.
Okay.
Because we're able to create fantastic things. I mean, you sit down and on your own, or having been inspired, you're able to create something that is so visually appealing and functional, you know?
Yeah.
There's that joy of you're walking down the road and you see something you designed on a signboard or as a bus wrap or something.
Yeah.
Those things excite you and make you feel like a king.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, I don't believe there's any humble designer, but one of the things that I start to notice and say, no, there's a problem, is when this person is no longer willing to listen. We tend to, that's a problem that a lot of beginners have. You see people who don't want to be corrected. They don't want to be told their design isn't working or their idea isn't fitting into what you want to do.
Mm.
One of the things that I try to do with my interns is I try to bring them into the creative process, not just teach them about design.
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth is, design will start in your mind. It's what you have in your mind that's going to come out on your computer eventually. So I don't care how good you are with the laptop or the desktop. If the idea is not fully formed in your head, you are going to have problems. So I try to bring them into the creative process. Let's brainstorm. Okay, a client has come along and they say they need so and so designs. What ideas can we pick up to make this happen? And then they are bringing ideas. But like I said, I start to notice the attitude and the willingness to listen, the willingness to follow direction. I also look at how the person is going about the tasks that are being given to them.
Mm-hmm.
There's a way you do something in a grudging manner. Or you do it in a manner that's so laid back and relaxed, like, oh, you have all the time in the world. It doesn't really matter if you do it well or fast enough.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Those are the kind of things I look out for. I'm looking at how you're doing your work. Are you doing it right? Are you doing it on time? Are you responding properly? You have interns where you send emails.
Okay.
I mean, because they come in and then they get their own email. Mm-hmm. So I'm sending you an email about something and 2 days later, I haven't gotten a response on my email. Oh, no.
Yeah.
I just know, no, there's a problem here.
Okay.
You know?
Okay. This leads nicely to the next question. How do you measure the progress of your interns? Do you do monthly evaluation? What is it? How do you know if this is really working?
I have a lot of control over my department. That's the design.
Okay.
So I'm essentially their supervisor.
Okay.
In every sense of the word. So I am monitoring their tasks. I'm monitoring how fast they are doing their work. In as much as not every design has to do with speed, I really need to know how competent you are when it comes to speed. It's really important. I also look at, how do I put this? I look at how clear they are with their ideas. Like I said, I bring them into the creative process. So I'm looking at how they are thinking. There's somebody, he has become a friend. Initially, he was like a mentor. Now he's like a friend. His name is Sunesis Chooks.
Okay.
I remember one day we were having a back and forth on creative thinking. And then he brings out an iPad. And then he says, what are the things that you can do with this iPad? And, you know, I'm thinking, chat with it. Draw if you have a product app that you can use to draw, thinking of different things you can use. And so, this we are thinking of what it was built to do because you've already seen adverts. So it was like, beyond what you already know, what else do you think you can do out of this language? Think outside the box and then I just have thinking, oh, you can, because you could imagine it to be like a tennis racket when you're playing table tennis.
Mm.
You can imagine this be a small table mat that you can put a plate or a cup on. You know? Different ways to see what was initially put in one box alone. You now start imagining how it can be used in other ways. So I task them there. That's one another way I measure them. How are you thinking? What are the things that you are thinking of before you do the design?
Okay.
Another thing that I also think about is I was an assistant designer somewhere before now, and one of the things that my supervisor then would always tell me is, it's not enough to do the work that you are told. Sometimes you need to ask yourself, is there anything that I can do that can make this work even better? That's another thing I look out for. Creativity on the job now, not just with the idea. What can you do at this point? You may not necessarily want end up changing the entire design, but what can you do? What can make it more appealing? What can make it more exciting? And even if you do not do it yourself, you could end up actually suggesting it and saying, oh, I know this is what you had in mind, but how about this? And then the final assessment that I give to them is, at some point, I give them a task and I say, I'm not going to give you any direction on this now.
Okay.
I'm answering on this project. I want you to take, it's a mini project, because it's not going to be something too massive. But I'll give you this project and I'll tell you, this is the time period you have to complete this project. Sometimes it would be something that I myself have created as a training guide. And sometimes it would be something else that would come to work. And you have to sit down, go through the entire process from thought to execution and to deployment. Mm. You have to do the process yourself without my supervision. And then present it, you know, to me at the end of the period, and then I look into plan, and then I stretch out. This area is where you excel, this area is where you have issues. This helps me to know this is like I'm waiting for and give more guidance.
Awesome. There are a number of times when it's seen in various organizations where interns or staffs they are treated in ways that are not really, really nice. Well, not inhumane, but not they're not treated with the same level of respect a regular designer or a regular creative. But I love the way you are able to, your interns know when to stop and know when to, okay, it's time to push or more. How do you draw that line? When do you say, okay, now it's time, I need to really understand what is this person really going through? Because we are all humans, both the intern, the creative, the lead, the designer, everyone, we are all humans. So how do you draw this line and how do you do it? How do you draw this line?
I can't say it's always easy to know.
Okay.
Sometimes, some people can be really, really bogged with it.
Yeah.
You get to this. I literally have to get up from my desk. I put in some air, I listen to some music, and then I come back and then I say, oh yeah, come on, let's talk about this, because what you're doing right now isn't really making any sense. Always easy to do. And like you said, it's important you take note of the fact that you're speaking to people with feelings.
Yeah.
Best I can to make sure that I'm not trampling on people's feelings. It's, the idea is to separate the job or the design from the individual.
Okay.
Yeah, as much as the design flows from them, the design is not them. Okay, they are not the same thing.
Mm.
So to establish that early on, whenever we have a new intern, I actually sit with them. It's actually company policy that we sit with them and we have a chat. I don't just tell them what will be required of them on the job. I tell them what they should expect.
Mm.
And I tell them that one of the first things that used to is the fact that I'm superior, so sometimes I'm going to be on your case. I'm going to be shadowing sometimes. If you mess up a job or a design, you should expect to be spoken to about it. It's not a personal thing. Nobody is going to call you to an office and scream your head off and call you names.
Mm.
But you should expect that I would walk up or call you to my desk, sit you down and tell you we messed up. And then we would possibly look at a solution to the problem. Because again, you are not just there to learn from me. You are also there to apply what you are learning.
Mm.
So if you have to tell you messed up, you can't say, oh, you're an intern, so, oh, all right, anything is. That's not great. Okay, so it's not always easy.
Mm.
Sometimes it might be frustrated and you are talking, and then suddenly you catch yourself and realize, okay, I need to pause now.
Right.
I had a particular intern who would not reply emails. It was so frustrating. Send, I'm not kidding right now. I could send, for real, I could send up to 5 emails in a day and I would get no response.
Whoa.
This person is in the same office with me. And I'm thinking, how is this happening? We're on the same network, so you can't tell me it's a network problem. What are you possibly doing? Sometimes jobs will be assigned and they won't be done. And then I'd have to take on the jobs myself to make sure that I meet the timeline, in addition to the work already doing. So that's a lot of things I have to deal with at the end of the day. So when I see this person, I'm already boiling. And, you know, it's like steam is coming out of my head already. And I'm set to just begin to shout, and then I just have to pause.
Mm-hmm.
And then sit down. You know, eventually he shaped up. And he shaped up because I had to send a query at that point. Tell him to respond to the query, which he did, and then he stepped up. I mean, he did. At the point, it was now difficult to look at him and say, are you sure you're not the same person who was messing things up a while ago? Because he became really focused and efficient, you know. So it can be hard, but it's possible to and address issues as you should. I really avoid shouting and, you know, getting abusive and all of that. I don't think that helps anyone. Maybe school, it works for them. Maybe that's their kind of relationship. But for me, I avoid that. I try to make it as simple as possible, because, again, I need to consider that this is a work environment.
Yeah.
This person becomes very hurt and very guarded. It affects the work, and it will affect when I'm trying to train you. You will be apprehensive, scared, or you will be angry. And at the end of the day, you are bamboo, so there's no longer any contact. So I try to do it as nicely as I can.
Wow, awesome, awesome, awesome. Recognizing the fact that they have feelings, and at the end of the day, how they feel and might even affect their productivity and their ability to even learn other things. Awesome. We are actually pressed for time. So before I really, really appreciate your time. This it's an honor, Jaye. Thank you so much. Before we let you go, two more things. How can a community of listeners get in touch with you? Say they want to reach out and say, hey, boss, honor, I was so impacted by what you said on this podcast and this day, or they want to just reach out and become infants, or want to send a message. What are the best ways to get to you online?
Okay. The best ways to get to me online, I guess, through my email.
Okay.
Yeah, my email is an option. There's also my Instagram page. My email, that's IQ, that's I have to spell it out, I guess. That's EIYKE at IAMONERE.com. That's IP at IAMONERE.com.
Okay.
To take any messages, any questions, or whatever.
Okay.
My phone number is also available if that's required, so that I can have conversation.
We'll leave your social media handles and your emails in the show notes so that our community could get in touch whenever and as a friend.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, awesome. Okay, before that you go, wrong notions a lot of people hold before they get into the design industry, like some wrong ideas they have. Say an intern before he starts interning for you. What is one wrong notion you've noticed or you've seen that some people hold before they get started in the industry?
Okay. People think that they can be fantastic successes overnight.
Hmm.
So, you know, sometimes someone walks up to me and says he wants to me an intern or learn from me personally, and then he's spending all his time asking how to teach him to do this effect or that effect in Photoshop and how to do this or that. And I have to keep telling people, if you are here to learn effects, then you might as well go to YouTube. Okay? Go to YouTube or some other place and learn all the effects you want. But you need to understand that until you learn the creative process, learn the principles of design, begin to apply these two things, your designs will not have the punch that you want them to have. They won't have the impact that you need. The idea behind internships is that, or learning from people, is that you are being trained on the essential things that you require that will help you do fantastic design. So if you have the mindset that it's just going to happen overnight and you need to cut corners, and you are not going to get there. Everybody to see as a mentor, you want to admire and praise, is started and learned these things. So your case can't be any different. You have to learn them as well before you can become somebody good at watching.
Yeah. Awesome, amazing. It takes process. And you do a lot of Nollywood spoofs there. Do you still do them?
Yeah. You know, the problem with work is things can get so overwhelming that you don't even know the any three of them have not yet completed. I just need to add a few touches them, and then I will upload them on social media again and be like, oh, okay, this is my latest movie spoof. I used to make a lot of those. You know, some were for fun, and then some were really serious.
Okay.
I intend to get back to them, possibly next week, in fact.
Okay, awesome. Definitely, we'll have you on another episode. I really crave your indulgence. We'll have you on another episode where we'll talk about some other things in the industry. I really, really do appreciate your time today. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. It was fun. I was glad to be here. It brought back some memories.
Thank you. To our amazing community, it has really, really been awesome this week. I've picked a ton of actionable content from today's episode. So if you are an intended designer looking to get started as an intern, you've heard it. It takes time. It doesn't happen overnight. Give it time. Give yourself time. And if you are a boss taking interns, understand that they're also humans and relate to them as humans and they will learn. There's no one that is not capable of learning anything. Just we learn at different pace. Understand how they learn and find ways to communicate what you want to communicate. Till we come your way next week. My name is Brian Temeka. Go out and create awesomeness. I will see you next week.